The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius Tactheratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, and.video, vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your support. We couldn't do the show without you. Hey, can I ask you a favor real quick? It's not an ego trip. It's an algorithm thing. Can you rate the show, please? Because it seems to help. You rate the show, write a little report. If you think I've earned 5 stars, I'd appreciate it. It'll take you 2 seconds to just scroll down and do it. It'll mean a lot to the show. Thank you in advance. Hey, also, thank you to our sponsors that make the show possible. Listen, you're going to have to get ready for what's coming, okay? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's going to get weird and you're going to want to have some food. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to build a landing page with us, preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can go take a look at their array of storable food and more. They have all sorts of gear that'll keep you alive when the things get weird, when the power goes out, when the food stops coming. You'll be set up for the next couple of months. Look, I hope you don't need it, but the theme of this show is let's understand where we are and be proactive and make some moves in advance. So if you are looking to get yourself set up with some storable food that'll last you for the next 25 years, or maybe you're already fixed and you need to hook up your in-laws or your mom and dad who live out of state and they don't know what's coming, but you do, and you don't really want to give them the full lecture, you can send them some food as well. It'll be delivered right to their door in buckets that they can put in their basement or store in their cabinets or put in their garage or do whatever you want to do with it. So you'll just know that they're hooked up, that they'll have food for the next couple of months. So go to my Patriot Supplies website that they built for us, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and take a look for yourself. Also, thanks to Chemical Free Body. I'll tell you, in a world of scammy vitamins, make sure that you're buying stuff from Tim James. He does a great job. He's making products that work, which is rare in the vitamin industry. And Chemical Free Body's been with this show from the beginning, really. I take their products every single day. I drink Green 85 every single day and have been for the last 3 years. I'm in great shape. I in part because I'm aware of this stuff and I'd like to keep myself healthy, but I also know that I'm not getting everything that I need from my daily food. So I have to have supplements, and Green 85 and the products that Tim sells over at Chemical Free Body make it possible. So take a look, go to chemicalfreebody.com, do some shopping, see what you think. If you find something that you like, you can use the promo code MACRO. That'll save you some money on the way out. But I'll tell you what, if you're sitting around waiting for somebody to help you with your health, you're going to be waiting a long time. This is something you have to do. You can't outsource this to somebody else. Nobody's coming to save you. You're going to have to decide that you want to get yourself healthy. And I'll tell you, Green 85 every morning, it takes about 3 minutes. Okay. It's pretty easy. I mean, it's not going to be a big time waster for you. So it's just a matter of, do you want to do it or not? So chemicalfreebody.com, promo code MACRO. Well, I saw, like everyone else saw, the Patriot Front guys getting unmasked, or maybe they were like an offshoot of the Patriot Front. It's really hard to tell these days. They're all getting a paycheck from the same place, the federal government. We know that. So whether they call themselves Patriot Front or Storm Front or Patriots Rising or whatever, man, I mean, it's the same shit. These are feds. We know this. This is... And frankly, I'm embarrassed for you. You ever watch a video, or you see a performance and somebody is so bad in the performance and you go, ooh, like, you're so bad, I'm uncomfortable just watching how bad you are. You feel kind of cringed out because they're so awful. That's how I feel about Patriot Front. That's how I feel about the Fed. They're so bad. I mean, you're the federal government of the United States of America. You literally have a printing press. You could go out and find the best people in the world to run your psychological operations, and Patriot Front is the best you can come up with? Are you kidding me? I don't know. I'm going to take it as a good sign, really. I'm going to take it as a sign that they've given up. They're just running the junior varsity team out there, and they're just, I hope everybody doesn't notice that these guys are feds. I hate to give the FBI like tips on how to run their psychological operations better, but have you seen the average American? The average American is like 50 pounds overweight. Okay. We're a disgustingly fat country. Oh, chemicalfreebody.com, promo code MACRO. Get yourself straightened out. We're disgustingly overweight. We have processed foods and sugars, and we just prioritize the dumb stuff and at the expense of like real food. So if you are going to have a group of people that are supposed to be, I don't know, representative of some Patriot Front, right? And every single one of them is in great shape, you know that they're federal agents, because you got to have at least a bunch of, you know, like a handful of fat people in there, right? A bunch of people that can't march, can't keep up, kind of out of breath. I mean, if you're going to make it look realistic, I mean, have you ever seen Antifa? They're not winning any push-up contests, you know, let's be honest here. So, you know, if you want to make it look realistic, don't bring in a bunch of like jacked feds that are all marching, that are all 32 waist, you know, individuals that are coming out there and all just magically appear out of the back of a U-Haul truck. But I'll tell you, man, the masks are off, both literally and figuratively these days. And I think everyone sees what's happening in America. It's an emperor has no clothes moment, right? And I say it's fantastic news. It's fantastic news because it means that people are waking up. It means that people are taking a look at this and going, really? All of the white supremacists got out of the back of a U-Haul in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho? That's normal. I couldn't coordinate six of my buddies in Vegas last weekend. You think I'm going to coordinate 47 Patriot Front members? I mean, it's, the whole thing is just so fucking obvious. It's a low quality psychological operation. But you know what? I think that they think that it'll work on us. I think they have no respect for us. I mean, I know they have no respect for us, but they're showing us in actuality that they have no respect for us. If they respected us, they would run real false flag. They'd run 1970s Operation Gladio style false flag operations where people are like, oh, this is for real happening. You know, they wouldn't run a bunch of feds out of the back of U-Haul truck and have them march around and then get, quote, arrested by the police. Let me ask you something. Not that I expect everybody to be experts in police activity or anything, but let me ask you this. You get 30 white nationalists, and I use that term extremely loosely, 30 white nationalists pile out of a U-Haul van holding Nazi flags and everything, all right? And you're the police, and somebody in your boss says, all right, go arrest all those guys, right? So you get them down, you put them in handcuffs or you put them in zip ties or whatever. Is there a scenario in your mind in which the police leave their masks on? Have you ever heard of the police arresting a masked guy comes running out of a bank and they catch him and they put handcuffs on him? Have you ever seen a scenario in which the police put him in the back of the car with his mask still on? Or do you think that one of the first things they do after they get him handcuffed is to remove the mask? And yet, every time Patriot Front gets arrested, quote, arrested, they leave their masks on. Isn't that weird? Isn't that inconsistent with reality, sanity, logic, police protocol, everything? I mean, if you and I were walking down the street and we got detained by the police and we had ski masks on, they would take our masks off of us after they had us handcuffed. Yes? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. So why don't they ever do that with Patriot Front, right? How come it took a bunch of good old boys to pull the masks off these guys? And then, uh-oh, what do we know? Like, zoinks. It was the Federal Bureau of Investigation all along. They would have got away with it if it wasn't for you kids. Yeah. This Scooby-Doo moment of the feds getting unmasked, I think, is just sort of a metaphor for where we are. The mask is off. The mask is off this administration. The Biden administration is willing to use federal agents to pretend to be white supremacists because they have told you and me that the biggest threat to America is domestic terrorism by white supremacists. And yet, there seems to be some sort of supply and demand disruption here. It seems that the demand for white supremacy far exceeds the supply for it. Therefore, they are forced to manufacture fake white supremacy in order to meet the fake demand that they themselves are creating. You know, because if there was just real white supremacy all over the place, just oozing out of everything, and just skinheads and wife beaters everywhere, then you wouldn't need to go out and hire a bunch of feds right out of college and have them pretend to be something that they're not. You know, these are the January 6th people. You know how everyone's saying January 6th was a psychological operation set up by the feds? And everyone, oh, get out of here. You guys are just a bunch of delusional Trump supporters. They would never do that. Really? They'd never do that? Well, what do you call these guys? A bunch of feds? These are the same guys. Maybe not identically the same guys, but it's the same group. It's the same ideology. It's the same concept. It's false flag. Let's pretend to be somebody that we're not. Now, this is Saul Alinsky Rules for Radical 101. There's nothing really complex about this. We're not getting into like the quantum physics of false flags here. This is really like low level stuff. Okay. This is when Saul Alinsky was preaching his how to destroy the world from the left by subversion and of preaching this to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, two people that consider him to be their idols. He was said, you know, groups would come to him and say, Mr. Alinsky, there are these Republicans that are running for office that this guy's going to hold a rally down the street later today. And we want to go protest him. What should our sign say? And he says, no, you're doing it all wrong. Don't do signs saying we hate this guy. Instead, dress up like the KKK and stand as close to him as you can. And whenever he says something that you actually disagree with, pretend like you're in favor of it and start applauding. Connect yourself dressed as the fake KKK to this candidate, and then everyone will think that the candidate and the Klan are one and the same. And they went, oh, that's a much better idea. So now think of this. Now fast forward. That was the 60s and the concept still remains. What do you want? Tie Trump supporters to the Klan. Tie Trump supporters to people waving Nazi flags. Well, there aren't Trump supporters waving Nazi flags because they're not into that. Well, let's make them then. If they won't do it organically, then we will do it artificially. We will then bring in people. You know, there, once again, there is no supply of Nazi flag waving Trump supporters. There might be a few, but they're busy. They're at Walmart buying, you know, cut off jean shorts or something. I don't know, but they're not out there marching. So if you're going to, you wait around for this to happen organically, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, or you can make it happen. So that's what they're doing. I mean, this is not like, we're not getting into like advanced placement, false flaggery. This is what they teach you the first week of it in Quantico. So this is an operation. We've got Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, and Alexander Mayorkas saying that the biggest threat to America is white nationalism and domestic terrorism. So that's you should be alarmed, right? I mean, you should keep your eyes open for that. Now, what do you see when you look around? When you're on, I don't know, when you're on the internet or you're reading news stories or you're on social media, what do you see? Do you see, let me ask you this, who is running into the Louis Vuitton stores in San Francisco and looting it? Are they white nationalists or not? Are they? Because if they were white nationalists, they'd be on the news every single night. But they're not. It's groups of black individuals. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything except that I have eyeballs and that's what I see. Okay? So I'm not trying to say crime is limited to the black community, but in the case of the smash and grabs and the organized robberies that we see the people running out of the street, they ain't white. Okay? They're every other color except the white guys. Okay, so again, if white nationalism is the biggest threat to America, I'm going to need to see the receipts for that, because what I see is the exact opposite. Okay, so and on top of that, you know, listen, not for nothing, but that crybaby Adam Kinzinger, he gave up the game on Twitter when he said he was castigating I don't know if they're Proud Boys or whatever that unmasked the Patriot Front douchebags, and Adam Kinzinger called them federal officers. It's like, you said the quiet part out loud. Federal officers? I thought they were just white nationalists, Adam. Why on earth would you say that they were federal officers? That those people needed to be arrested for attacking federal officers? I mean, clearly they're white supremacists. They're wearing Patriot. They have matching shirts. They have hoods, matching hood and sunglasses too. So they've got to be white nationalists. But you say they're federal officers. You know what? I'll take you at your word, Adam. For once in my life, I'll trust you when you say that they're federal officers. Because you know what? Something tells me you were sitting in the meetings. Ben Brody, Fed, and Jewish. That's interesting. Waving a swastika? What a piece of shit you are. Ian Michael Elliott, Atlanta Antifa. I thought I recognized somebody that couldn't overarm throw the Molotov cocktail, you soy-filled beta male Ian Michael Elliott. James Julius Johnson, Washington Nazi Watch. What group are you from? I'm from Washington Nazi Watch. Oh, you're watching Nazis, are you? Get the fuck out of here with that nonsense. I'm just here watching for Nazis, everybody. I've been here all night. I'm on the lookout. Did you see any? Well, I thought I saw one in the bushes. Oh, well, keep looking, James. Keep looking, James, over in Washington on Nazi Watch. You're bound to find one eventually. Good Lord. Ryan Richard Sunberg. No Cara. I don't know what that group is. So these are the four that were identified as being feds. These are Antifa guys too. I mean, so it's a joke. I mean, it's not a funny joke, but it's like it's turned into a joke. The entire Biden administration is like one giant punchline. It's like it's a 4-year episode of Three's Company where there's just a giant misunderstanding and nobody can quite figure out what's going on. And eventually they wind up at the Regal Beagle trying to figure it all out. There's Larry's hitting on somebody. You know, it's like you feel like when I watch the Biden administration, I should have like a laugh track playing in the back. You know, like here's and here comes Uncle Joe. Oh, he gave his speech. He can't find his way off the stage. You know, like the laugh track going in the background. It's just the dumbest timeline, and yet we're kind of forced to live with it. But I got to read this. This is from Alexander Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security. So you know he's, you know, goose-stepping around his office. He says, quote, I feel like I want to read it in the gayest voice possible because it's just so ridiculous. But, quote, domestic violent extremism is our greatest threat right now. Individuals are driven to violence because of ideologies of hate, anti-government sentiment, false narratives, personal grievances. Regrettably, we have seen a rise in white supremacy. Really? We've seen a rise in white supremacy? I'm the whitest guy on the planet. Nobody's approached me. I get a decent voice here in the alternative media. I could be a real asset to the white supremacy community. And yet nobody's reached out to me. I'm a little offended, frankly. Where are my honkies at, huh? You know what we have? We haven't seen a rise in white supremacy. You know what we have seen? We've seen a rise in trans supremacy. If we're being completely honest, there's no more protected class out there in the United States than the trans community. They're bubble wrapped and they're ready to put Dylan Mulvaney on Mount Rushmore because he's stunning and brave when he's not destroying Tranheiser-Busch from the inside. So no, listen, Alexander Mayorkas, we have not seen a rise in white supremacy. You're lying because you're a liar. That's what you do. You know what you should be doing, Alexander Meyer, Department of Homeland Security? You should be securing the homeland, because what I saw is 6 million illegal aliens or undocumented non-Americans, however you want to put it without being super duper offensive, coming across the southern border without anybody stopping them. Okay, that's what we've seen. Under the Biden administration, the doors are open. Not only are the doors open, it's being organized in Central America by the Soros groups. It's being made to happen. I feel bad for those people. I understand that their homeland is being destabilized, most likely by us, and that they have reasons to want to be somewhere other than where they are. I get that. And I'm not shitting on the people that want to come to America for a better life and things like that. There is a process, you know. I mean, when 6 million people decide to organically come across the border all in the last 2 years, I mean, that's organization, right? That never happened before. So, no, we're not seeing a rise in white supremacy. We're seeing a rise in 6 million people coming across the southern border. We're seeing a rise in trans supremacy. We're seeing that pride has gone on for, you know, God, it's like if you've ever watched the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin, he's like, the first day felt like 8 days, and the second day you felt like 11 days, and the third day you were gone, so it just felt like a day. Like every day in the Biden administration feels like it's a week. It's the longest administration. It's like the longest. I feel like I'm going to be 100 years old by the time he gets out of office. It just keeps going and going. There's one dumb thing after the next. I can hardly even keep track of it. I mean, I guess the good news is for a show like this, okay, I'm never going to run out of things to talk about as long as these morons are running the country, because they just outdo each other every month. So I tell you what, let's go back a little bit to 2015. If you guys were, you know, everyone's at sort of a different place in their awakening, right? But where were you in 2015? Do you remember Jade Helm? Do you remember that? This was like a summer, they ran it during the summer of 2015, and it was like a a simulation training exercise that was held by the government. And they were, there's a lot of talk like Walmarts, empty Walmarts were getting converted into detention facilities with barbed wire and making sure that they, you know, they were backed up to railroad tracks and all this stuff. And I watched that and I looked at it and I thought, you know, this was before I had even written the first book. And I was obviously into this stuff and I was watching it and I was going, you know, I know everyone wants to say this is not real. There was a lot of it that felt very real to me. I remember they said they were targeting Christians, survivalists, and constitutionalists. I remember watching a video. They were interviewing one of the guys that was participating in it. And they're like, oh, so you're running a simulation? He's like, yeah. He's like, well, who are you simulating as the enemy? He says, mostly constitutionalists, you know, people that are like, sort of like America Firsters, constitutionalists. And I was like, I remember watching it going, ooh, they're the enemy? They're in this scenario, they're the enemy? Interesting. People that support the Constitution. I don't get all like teary-eyed and red, right, and white and blue America, fuck yeah, about the Constitution or anything. Like, it seems to be the best of the governmental documents, but again, I don't like I don't get like all rock hard about the Constitution. But I do recognize that the government would like to destroy it so that they could put us, you know, so they could do whatever they want to us. It really is probably one of the last things separating us from gulags. But they were labeling domestic terrorists and they were targeting them for disarmament. And they specifically said that they were looking for vets returning from wars, that they were going to be the big problem. Really interesting. So the vets, the American military veterans returning from bullshit wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, coming back home with their brains scrambled after having to do unspeakable things in order to make sure that they were able to return home to their mothers. You're worried about them. And the reason was, yeah, well, they're really good with guns and they're trained well. Yeah, you trained them. That's why. So the American government is terrified of American soldiers coming home from bullshit America wars. I wonder why that is. Because they saw, after being stationed in these places, that the wars were nonsense, that the money was getting skimmed, that the U.S. government was privatizing the national resources there and selling them off to Halliburton or Glencore or whoever the fuck was in there trying to mine Afghanistan for the $10 trillion worth of natural resources that they have in there. Oh, the soldiers saw this. The soldiers realized what they were doing. And they said, this government is corrupt. So they come back and they've got a problem with the government. So what does the government do? Puts them on domestic terrorist watch lists. Great. That's why I say the mask has come off. The proverbial mask has come off. The mask of civility, the mask of, oh, we love our troops. We stand with our troops. We've got Memorial Day. You've got one day, Memorial Day, for all the dead soldiers. You got 30 days for drag queens. Let that sink in. So listen, conservatives want to preserve the nation, so they are thought of as nationalists. The conservatives typically skew a little bit white. So now you've got any white conservative that wants to preserve the nation in this year, 2023, is called a white nationalist. So if you're white like me and you live in America like I do and you want this country to be better, you'd like to preserve it and in fact make it better, you are now a white nationalist. Because how dare you prioritize your nation over another nation, a nation that maybe you've never even been to or don't know anybody from? They will call you a white nationalist, okay? So even though, by the way, this isn't even about race. It's just the fact that you happen to be white. So, anyone who's proud to be a Christian will be called a white Christian nationalist, which is, I think, extra scary, right? Because God is on their side. I don't know how it all works, but, and of course, if you're a white Christian nationalist, you of course are just one step away from being the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. You know that, right? Of course you do. How dare you? And anybody who thinks the border should be shut anybody who is prioritizing their own nation, America, and thinks the border should be shut, you're now a racist. Okay. So there were, in 2021, there were 10,840, quote, hate crimes, according to the Justice Department, and 64.5% of them were race-related. So let's talk about this. Let's talk a little bit about hate crimes, because, you know, they're like, you know, this murder was a hate crime. It's like, when you murder someone, I think the hate is kind of implied, right? I would say. I mean, at least you hated them when you were squeezing the trigger. Of the 9,606 known offenders of these 10,840 hate crimes, 52% were white. So a total of 4,995 white people committed hate crimes. Okay. Let's round up 4,995. Let's round up. Let's say we found five more. We went into the local Arby's and we just found a bunch of good old boys. Let's just round up and say 5,000. 5,000 white people committed hate crimes out of a grand total in America of 340 million people. So do you know what this works out to? Because I have a calculator. I own one and I could figure it out. So the percentage of white people who committed hate crimes in America, are you ready for this massive percentage? It's the number one threat to America. So get ready for this number of this huge percentage of white nationalists committing hate crimes in America. Are you ready for it? It is 0.000147. That's the percentage of the American population that is the biggest threat to the country. 0.0000147. That's it. Are you terrified yet? Joe Biden says you should be. This should be the topic at the dinner table tonight about how you're going to protect yourself from white nationalism. In 2020, I just want you to understand, we have to put this in perspective when we're talking about prioritizing where we are supposed to, you know, put our resources, our financial resources, our police resources, our emotional resources, where we should allocate our attention, you know, whatever, wherever this should go. We really need to prioritize, you know, the most important things and focus on them. When I tell you that there are 5,000 white people that committed hate crimes last year in America, and what a small percentage that is, let me explain something. In 2020, 928,741 people died from heart disease. Why isn't that the number one priority? It killed almost a million people. What did white supremacy kill? How many? I mean, and to be crystal clear, thoughts and prayers to the people that were killed by white supremacists. I mean, what a shitty way to go, right? Those people are awful. I'm not advocating for them in any way, shape, or form, you know? But like, it was 5,000 hate crimes, and it didn't necessarily even translate to 5,000 murders. It just meant like some guy got beat up or whatever. That's the priority? 928,000 dead from heart disease. 600,000 dead from cancer. 480,000 dead last year from smoking. Why isn't smoking the biggest thing? Why isn't Joe Biden going around confiscating cigarettes from people, storming Philip Morris and putting them out of business? They killed 480,000 people last year. That's more than that. That's as many people of Americans that died in World War II, died last year from smoking, 1 year from a totally preventable thing. But white nationalism is the most important thing? Are you out of your mind? I mean, have you ever taken a statistics class in your life? Do you have a functioning brain? Really? White nationalism is the biggest thing. Smoking killed 500,000 people last year. Hell, autoerotic asphyxiation takes out more than three times as many people each year than hate crimes. There were 51 deaths from hate crimes last year. There were 171 people that died while choking themselves while jerking off. Okay. There's no hate crime problem in America. no matter how much the Biden administration would like there to be. So the mask is off in other ways, though, I'd say that I think Americans are really starting to see what's important to the Biden administration, and that is the destruction of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., of course. He's jacked, by the way. Have you seen the pictures? Dude is in the gym. Yeah, he's on HGH. Yeah, he's on testosterone. I mean, yeah, of course. But listen, man, he's putting in the work. He was in those shirt off videos where he's like outside pumping iron. I was like, damn, that's what the Biden administration fantasizes, that that's Pelican Bay, right? Prison. And that they've put him in there, and that's how he got jacked. But no, in actuality, he's coming for Joe Biden's job. And the military-industrial complex, of course, hates him because because he's against their forever wars, and the CIA hates him because, you know, they murdered his brother or his uncle and his father. So, you know, this is a problem that RFK Jr. is going to have. And look, I've got plenty of problems with his candidacy. I'm no fan of his tongue bathing of Israel. I think it's disgusting. I think that he's kind of got there's a little bit of a lefty climate change component to him too. But again, I also kind of wonder, and I don't give this benefit of the doubt to any of the other candidates, but I do wonder with him if how much of it is him just saying what he knows he needs to say to appeal to that dumbed down Democratic base who still thinks that climate change is real and that that they stand with Israel, even though Israel blew up the USS Liberty in 1967 and did 9/11 with our government. They don't know any of that. So they still think that Israel is our best friend in the Middle East when they're not. So I don't know how much of this is pandering to those retards and how much of this is what he actually believes. I mean, he is in that leftist cult. I mean, he's married to a Hollywood actress who's sort of in that, you know, he made everyone get COVID vaccines before they showed up at the house. I mean, all these things are red flags, like waving red, right in front of my face. But again, there's a little Trump to him. And what I mean by that is that all of the right people hate him. Okay. And that's the one thing that I found appealing about Donald Trump. It's really one of the only things I found appealing about him, was that he made the media insane. He made a lot of people that I hate go crazy. And RFK Jr. does that too. He's got, Big Pharma hates him because he blew the whistle on their dangerous vaccine program. He's been upfront about that. He's known for that. And you can see how much they're scared of him by the coordinated attacks, conspiracy theorists, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spouting debunked lies and, you know, long since debunked tropes about vaccines and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it just goes on and on. But again, we know that the mainstream media gets 60% of their ad revenue in America from the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, so we understand that they're going to call on the dogs to go get him because they can't have him spouting any of his science, his actual science that's backed up with evidence, without destroying their reputation. So we know that the vaccine industry is going to go after him through their bulldogs in the media. That's what they pay them for. So, and of course, you know, look, who are the two industries that spend the most lobbying Congress? The military-industrial complex and Big Pharma, right? And who hates him the most? Both of those. Why? Because he's not interested in forever wars. He says he's not interested in forever wars. You know how that goes when you get into office. But he says he's not interested in forever wars, and he's anti-vaccine. And he's trying to play both sides of the anti-vaccine thing. He's saying, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm pro-safe vaccine. There's no such thing as a safe vaccine. So he's anti-vaccine. But he's doing it in a way that, that sort of makes him seem not so anti-vaccine, at least to his base. But even still, I talk to people that are Democrat lovers that love the Democrats, and I asked, what is your opinion about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? And the response I got was, he's despicable. Whoa, really? The propaganda is strong with this one. He's not despicable. Why? because he doesn't want your kids to get autism from vaccines? How dare he? But you know, listen, what do we know? What do we know about how this stuff works? Well, we know that we're going to get distractions, right? Major distractions. And the Biden administration lying about the Titanic submarine, that submersible that went down to go see the Titanic and then popped like a zit once it got down under the, you know, down deep enough. It comes out after the fact. That happened on a Sunday afternoon when they went down, when they first dropped into the water on the Sunday afternoon. They finally announced, I think, to the world that they were dead on Thursday. And then it came out that the United States military heard on sonar that the thing blew up hours after it went down, and that the Biden administration knew about it right then, and that the media knew about it right then. And what did they do? They did what they always do. They lied to you. They distracted you. They got your hopes up. Pray for those brave people that went down there. Pray for them. Oh my God. Titanic watch. Dun, dun, dun. You know, coming to CNN. Breaking news. Well, breaking news. Oh yeah. Back at the studio. We're out here. We're getting reports that we've got helicopters looking everywhere for them. We're hoping to find them. They only have a limited amount of, they only got 48 hours of oxygen left. Oh, we hope they stay. They knew they were dead the whole time. They knew they were dead the entire time. They didn't tell you. They wanted to use it as a distraction. I wonder what they could be distracting you from. Oh, I don't know. How about Hunter Biden getting a slap on the wrist for his tax evasion? How about that? How about Hunter Biden taking money from Ukraine, not paying taxes on it, which is I'm totally fine with, for the record, and using it to buy cocaine and hookers? I mean, to be fair, a case could be made. That's the best way to spend that money, that you did, rather than give it to the government. Go spend it on high-priced hookers and cocaine. I mean, it might not be my thing, but I know there's a lot of you sick degenerates out there that are like, fuck yeah, I'm on board with that. But did you also know that Sam Bankman-Fried, remember that autistic lunatic running FTX, that he quietly had 5 felonies dropped? Oh, you didn't hear that, did you? They didn't go up there and tell you. Oh, yeah, they did. They did that real quiet. Like, isn't that weird? The guy that stole, I don't know, $10 billion of depositors' money, starting to have felonies dropped, charges dropped against him. And they don't want you to know about that. You know why? Because you would be outraged. Why is that? Because it's bullshit, of course. And you know he's connected to the Democrats because he was laundering money for them. And he gave them all a bunch of money. And then magically, charges start dropping off against him. Isn't that weird? It was also a distraction from the $290 million that JP Morgan, the bank, paid to settle their dealings with Jeffrey Epstein. You know Jeffrey Epstein. You remember him, the guy that was trafficking children on behalf of Jess Staley, who was running Barclays Bank. And they had all those emails going back and forth about how he was asking for Cinderella when he showed up there. And I can't wait to go have you get me what Snow White was, I think is what it was. Oh, I can't wait for Snow White when I get down there. What's Snow White? Is it? I hope to God it's cocaine. I hope that's what you're talking about. But something tells me it's a 7-year-old girl. You know what I mean? These fucking scumbags. But you don't hear about that. You were busy hoping that these guys got oxygen popped up somewhere and they're explaining the details. Well, even if they do surface somewhere, you got to get a bolt gun out there and unscrew all these things, because otherwise they can't, you know, we're like, oh, wow. We're like, I learned more about submersibles in the last 10 days than I've ever known in my entire life. I should have learned nothing. They should have said it went down and it blew up immediately. But instead, they kept the charade going because they knew that people were going to be interested in it, because we like to rubberneck car accidents. And this is a very unique car accident. So we wanted to see it. They're distracting you from BlackRock dropping ESG name due to the optics of it. Larry Fink has decided, you know, there's been so much bad publicity about ESG that I'm going to not use the term environmental, social, and governance anymore because of the not that he's going to stop investing in this woke climate change horseshit. No, he's not doing that. He's just going to change the name, because that'll fix the problem, or at least it will for him, perception. They didn't, they distracted you from the CIA and the United States trying to finance this coup in Russia. Oh, I'm sure we had nothing to do with that at all. Wink, wink. They're trying to distract you from Kamala Harris's historically low approval rating of 32%, with 39% having a, quote, very negative view of her. By the way, this net negative, negative 17 rating, worst of any vice president in the history of the United States. Keep talking about school buses and time and space, you big dummy. Let's move on to something more fun. How about Bud Light's trans agenda? Oh, this is great, man. Again, the mask is off. We see what these corporations want. We see what the government wants. You know, we see what Tranheiser-Busch wants. This is where we're going. It's getting worse each week. It was down 24% the week of June 3rd. This last week, it was down 28.5%. It's accelerating. The drop in sales at Anheuser-Busch is accelerating. It's not, they thought they could weather the storm. They thought it was going to be a blip on the radar, that people were going to be a little upset that Dylan Mulvaney came out with the can, and that that was April 1st. April 1st, all of April, all of May, all of June, right? So in three months, Bud Light went from 10% of all beer sales in America down to 7%. That is huge. That's massive. This is a... they cost themselves $20 billion in market cap. The InBev Anheuser-Busch company has lost that much money. And keep in mind, they have a ton of products. All right. This is like having 100 items at a grocery store and one of them does poorly. You can weather that. That's easy. That's no big deal. But the one item is Bud Light, and it's taking your entire company down, because not only do people not want to drink Bud Light, they just don't want to be associated with the company at all. So that goes to Budweiser, and that goes to Michelob Ultra, and it goes to some of the other brands that they carry. And they have a lot of brands. Everything's down. Modelo's up. Good for Modelo. Modelo is like, Modelo is the number one selling beer in America right now. Isn't that funny? That's weird. They have a good ad campaign, by the way. Here in America, they have a really good ad campaign well done. As somebody with a marketing background who worked in advertising, I look at Modelo's campaign and I think they're doing it right. You know, they found a way to sort of connect that sort of image to people that work hard and train and become successful, and they like to have a Modelo after work, as opposed to Anheuser-Busch that says that wants to be known as the beer for homosexuals, which is fine if you're a homosexual, but you know, if I'm selling beer, I want to sell it to the biggest audience possible. And that's not the gay community. That's just Americans in general. I wouldn't want to differentiate. I'd want gay people to enjoy my beer as much as straight people. I certainly wouldn't differentiate between the two. I certainly wouldn't say, I'm going to take the, I don't know, best known American beer for being like sports and fraternities and guys. And, you know, who drinks beer? Who drinks Bud Light? Guys, anywhere from like 18, I mean, you're supposed to be 21, but anywhere from 18 to 40, right? That's it. Guys drinking that. You know who doesn't drink Bud Light? Transsexuals. They just don't. It's not their thing. My guess is they're drinking Zimas. I don't know. Or maybe they're, I don't know, butt chugging or something. Who knows? But they're not drinking Bud Light. So you've made this ridiculous calculation. The CEO, Brandon Whitworth, won't rule out working with Dylan Mulvaney still. He doesn't get it. He still doesn't fucking get it. They don't understand what's happening. They don't understand. They are so detached from reality, and they hate your guts so much that they think this is a passing fad. Oh, they'll be back. They'll be back. They'll be back, and we're going to double down. We're going to sponsor the Pride event in Toronto with naked men dancing in the streets in front of children. I hope you enjoyed spending $20 billion on that. But you don't have to have a business degree to understand this is brand suicide. You just have to have a functioning brain, which apparently Brendan Whitworth does not have. I mean, honest to God. Who is on the board of directors of Anheuser-Busch InBev? Who? Where is this meeting where you fire every single person responsible for this, including the CEO? I mean, unless you're trying to tank the stock, and that's a possibility too, that the BlackRocks of the world have made a decision that in advance of an Anheuser-Busch campaign like this, they're shorting the hell out of the stock. I don't know if they're doing it or not. Maybe somebody could dig into the filings of a group like BlackRock or somebody like this and see if they're shorting it. But I think typically these are long holders. These aren't guys that are making short term, like, there's some companies out there that actively look for companies that they can short to make a fortune on because they know their business. I don't think the BlackRocks of the world do that. I think they're long-term holders. So again, what is the strategy here? I guess the strategy is that they want everybody to be gay. Listen, Rachel Levine, Biden's tranny assistant secretary for health, declared, quote, gender-affirming care. You know what gender-affirming care is. We've done plenty of shows on that. Gender-affirming care, which sounds very nice. It sounds like somebody's going to affirm you. Somebody's going to take care of you. They're going to affirm your gender. What is it? It's puberty blockers. It's chemical castration. It's removing genitals and adding genitals. If we don't have those four things, Rachel Levine says that this is necessary in order to keep trans kids from killing themselves. So again, if trans kids, which as far as I'm concerned, don't exist, despite all the protests and parades telling me that they do exist, I think what you have with trans kids is you have mentally ill mothers with Munchausen by proxy that are projecting their insanity onto their children, because 7-year-olds don't tell you that they're born in the wrong bodies unless their mothers ask them every time at dinner, do you feel like you're born in the wrong body this week, Jimmy? So you've got mentally ill mothers, white liberal mothers almost exclusively, with narcissistic personality disorders that are screwing up their kids, telling them that they're trans kids, and that the only way to keep these trans kids from killing themselves is to offer them chemical castration as a solution. So let me ask you this. Shouldn't you be offering them therapy instead? Mental therapy? Health? To talk to a psychiatrist? Talk to somebody else before we cut your dick off? Maybe meet with a psychologist. Just an idea. Just a crazy idea I had. Not according to Rachel Levine. He, she, it also demands that we celebrate Pride all summer, not just for a month. Sounds reasonable. Good Lord. New York Pride Parade. Did you see this? We're here. We're queer. We're coming for your children. I wish I had that sound effect that Midnight Mike has at OBDM, that sound effect of a shotgun racking. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. Oh, you do that. You come for our children and you get what you get. You know, here's the thing. I'm an ally to the gay community. I got no problem with them. They've got no problem with me. We're cool. I grew up in, I've mentioned this before, Palm Springs, California is a really gay place, okay? That's where I grew up. It was very normalized. It wasn't a big deal. Nobody was out fag bashing or doing any of that stuff that you'd hear about in the papers. We never had any of that. Everybody interacted. Everybody got along. A lot of really artistic and talented and cool people out there. But I never saw that. I never had any sort of negative relationship with the gay community. I always thought that they interacted and integrated really well in that group, right? But you know, something has changed here, and I think it's I don't have a problem with all the letters of the rainbow, of the alphabet mafia. It's just that one. Is the LGBs, we're cool. We got no problem. I don't think they're the issue, but it's the T's, and the T's are gonna ruin it for everybody. All the alphabet people are gonna get taken down by the T's, because a lot of people aren't as nuanced as maybe we are, where we can tell the difference. We can say, well, gay people aren't trans people, and gay. I think gay people are mortified by what's going on in the trans community, but not everybody is gonna make that distinction. You understand that, right? A lot of people are just going to assume trans people equals gay people, and you're touching, trans people want to come for my kids, therefore I assume gay people want to come for my kids. Not really the case. But I'll tell you what, the mask is off on this too. They want your kids. They can't reproduce. Trans people can't reproduce. They're sterilized. You know, I mentioned puberty blocking chemicals, chemical castration, Lupron. You're sterilized. Oh, I'm gonna implant an artificial womb into this man, and then this man is gonna have kids. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. What do you get? One deformed baby out of? I mean, stop. This is Joseph Mengele would be proud of this operation. It's just insanity here, right? So, Oregon school districts, many of them, not all of them, to be fair, are requiring children from kindergarten on to go through, quote, gender identity and sexual orientation training. Why? Why do kindergartners need to go to gender identity training? Why? What are you doing to kids? See, this is the thing. The general public, I'm going to speak on behalf of the general public here, okay? I'm going to make an assumption. The general public typically doesn't care if you're gay or not. You do you, we're going to do a whatever, you know? The line is, the place in which that changes is when you start to talk to the kids about it. When you start to target or have an interest in taking your gayness, transgenderism, whatever, and it moves from being your own personal private business to you wanting to talk to other people's children about it, that's where there's a problem. And to be fair, it's not an unreasonable line in the sand. Right? I don't think that that's a crazy thing to do. And to be crystal, to double down on this, I don't want strangers talking to my kid about sex either. Straight people. I don't want anybody. But they're not doing that. This is all of a sudden the trans community wants to talk to your kids about sex. And what I'm saying is that's what predators do. That's what pedophiles do. And if you want to groom kids, You need to understand where the downside is to this. Whatever happens to you, I'm going to file it in the oh well category. Oh, I went to talk to, I was trying to tell this 7-year-old about how great it is to be trans and that everybody's got, you know, three mommies, and I wanted to see, like, hey, maybe we could cut your dick off. And then the dad came and put a shotgun up to my head and said he was going to blow my brains out if I didn't get out of here. I can't believe that happened. Really? Can't believe that happened? I can't believe he didn't pull the trigger. You're getting into a very dangerous place here when you start messing with people's kids. You do whatever you want. You want to be stunning and brave. You want to do the parades for adults. You want to do drag queens. You want to do the drag shows for 18 and older. Go for it. It's been going on forever, man. I've been to West Hollywood a bunch of times. That shit's been going on forever. Okay? That's not the problem. The problem is when you involve kids, it's pretty easy to figure this out. The fact that they're pretending like they don't understand why people are mad about it is a sign that they're either intentionally being dishonest about it, or that maybe the chemicals in their brains have screwed them up to the point where they're disassociating from reality. Sexualize other people's kids, you get a shotgun in the face. That's how it's going to happen. Don't act surprised. You get what you deserve with something like this. Woke Disney, by the way, Woke Disney has lost $890 million on its last 8 movie releases that went woke. I wonder why that is. It's almost like there's no appetite for this horse shit. $2.7 billion invested only to return $1.86 billion. You know what Disney's stock price was 2 years ago? It was $195 a share. You know what it is now? It's $89. That works out to a $170 billion loss of market capitalization. You think losing $890 million on your last 8 films is a big deal? It's less than $1 billion. They have lost $170 billion in market cap. I wonder what happened in the last 2 years. Everything at Disney went totally woke and totally trans and totally non-binary. And we've got to have a black little mermaid, and we've got to have a non-binary character. And the Pixar movie that just came out was the biggest bomb in Pixar's history. Pixar is usually pretty good. They did the Toy Story movie 2 years ago, where they had a gay kiss in that, and people went, parents went, no, thank you, I'm not interested. Then they had the Pixar movie that just came out a couple weeks ago, where they've got a non-binary character, and it was all about racism, and it's all about, and the parents went, I'm not interested. We're not doing this. No, thank you. We're done. We're done with Disney. We're done with Disney Plus. We're done. We're done. And Disney has lost $170,000 million. Okay, that's how much money they've lost by doing this. And yet they still do it. So it makes you ask, like, what's the plan here? You guys just going to continue to do this until you completely go out of business? I hope so. I hope so. That'd be great. Get yourself some free tickets to Disneyland at that point, man. So, I mean, that, like, where are we? Fake white supremacy where there isn't any. Fake consumer demand for woke trans groomer ideology where there isn't any. Mentally ill health officials claiming everybody will kill themselves if they don't transition, which they don't sound mentally stable in the first place. If they're that close to killing themselves, there's a problem already, right? So fake climate change causing New York City to ban wood fire pizza ovens or force the restaurants to put a $20,000 adapter on the exhaust. It's like, oh my God, when does it ever end? Fake meat to replace real meat, fake people, robots, AI to replace real people. And we're just in a synthetic society, man. I mean, everything is bullshit. But I'll tell you what, I want to wrap up with this last part here, because this is what I think is going to be interesting for people to understand where we're going. What, like, I'm going to call my shot here. Okay. You're going to say a couple years from now, somebody's going to mention this to you and you're going to go, oh, I heard about this back in the summer of 2023. I knew this was coming back then. This is what's coming. The plan to diagnose the entire alternative media is dangerous. Okay. Let me explain this. This is how they're going to do it. And by default, they're going to diagnose you as dangerous as well. Information disorder syndrome. Have you heard this? I bet you haven't. You're going to hear it. You're probably going to hear about it in the next 2 years. At some point, everybody's going to be talking about it, and you're going to say, I knew about it way in advance. Information disorder syndrome. Information disorder syndrome is the sharing or developing of false information with or without the intent of harming, and they are categorized as misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And there's three grades to it. Grade one, somebody that is a grade one has a grade one case of information. I feel terrible. What's wrong with you, honey? I don't know. I just haven't been feeling good. Oh, I think you have a grade one case of information disorder syndrome. Oh, thank you for diagnosing me. What does that mean? Well, it means you share false information without the intent of harming others. That's grade one. You share false information, but you don't mean to hurt anyone with it. Grade two, individual develops and shares false information with the intent of making money and political gain, but not with the intent of harming people. Okay, so I'm lying, but I'm only doing it because I'm a grifter and I'm trying to make money or rise up the political ranks, but I'm not trying to like hurt anybody. Grade three, shares false information with the intent of harming others. Okay. So this is a real thing. This is a real medical diagnosis. And this is the medical diagnosis that's going to be used to put you and me in prison. This is what I'm talking about. They're going to commit you to the nut house for this. They're going to want to. Repeated sufferers at the grade level, repeated sufferers at the grade one level, which is the shares false information without trying to harm others, and all sufferers from grade two and grade three need psychosocial counseling and sometimes require strong regulations and enforcement to control such information disorder. If you are talking about the fuckery happening within the government and the media and the pharmaceutical industry and the Biden administration, they want you to go to psychosocial counseling. They're going to label you as having information disorder syndrome. This is what's coming. This is what's coming to America. They're going to label you crazy and try to put you in a psych ward for it. And you don't know it yet, but this is being brewed behind the scenes. This is what they're talking about. This is what they're diagnosing people. They're getting ready to start diagnosing people with this. So get ready for the CDC and Alexander Mayorkas and Merrick Garland and Joe Biden and all his dipshits and his administrations to start talking about the second biggest threat, of course, behind domestic white supremacists, is information disorder syndrome. These people that have come down with a case of the, I don't know, the ability to see through the bullshit. And that's dangerous. And you have I have a grade 3 case of it, right? Clearly, I've shared false information with the intent of harming others. Ooh, my information is so dangerous. Put me in prison for it, right? They mention, specifically, they mention anti-vaxxers as malinformation in the same category, listen to this, anti-vaxxers as malinformation in the same category as people that falsely accuse other people of rape. I mean, can you see where this is going? They want to require, quote, rumor surveillance and cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. They have to give it an acronym so that you know that it's total bullshit. And on top of cognitive behavioral therapy, they're also going to require you to take motivational enhancement therapy, re-education camps, information disorder syndrome as the pretext to put you in re-education camps. The re-education camps aren't going to be called re-education camps. That's so Orwellian. They're going to be called cognitive behavioral therapy and motivational enhancement therapy. Well, I wonder what the motivation will be. Cattle prods? Probably. The mask is off. They want you to think white nationalism, Nazis are America's number one problem. And if you happen to disagree with this, then they're going to send the thought police to put you in the loony bin for your safety, right? As the first batch of Nazis would always say, for your safety, sir. Hey, listen, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression. Please rate the show. Please give me 5 stars if you think I've earned it. And if you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, Twitter at Macroaggressions, Instagram at Macroaggressions Podcast. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.